Okay, starting the Mishnah Beis Amid Beis at the bottom of the page. Kiyaytze a similar din, we're learning about the Ari Miklat, is a Ritzeach Shagala Le'ir Miklate. If a person killed somebody accidentally, and because of that he ran to the Ari Miklat, like we learned, and the people from the city want to honor him and give him an honorable job, he has to tell them, I'm a murderer. Listen, I'm here because, not that I'm a great guy, but I killed somebody accidentally. That's why I'm here. So if they tell him, Afa became, even though we know that and we still want to honor you, Yikablu Mehen, he should accept the honor from them. Okay? Why? Shenema, because it says in the Pasik, meaning these are the words of the murderer. That means if he says that he's a Ritzeach, so then that itself is a form of forgiveness and you're allowed to give him an honorable job. That's what the Mishnah says. Now the Mishnah starts the second half that's relevant to the Gemara later. Now, in order to understand this Gemara, it's based on what we learned before. There were six cities of refuge that the Eibishter gave, three on one side of the Yardin, three on the other side of the Yardin. Top of the page, Yud Gimel. No, you're not in the right page. Yeah. Now, in addition to the six Ari Miklat, there were 42 cities that the Levium lived in, and those cities were also counted as Ari Miklat. They were also counted as Ari Miklat. Now, the question is, when a murderer kills somebody accidentally, and he has to run to the city of refuge to live there until the Kohen Gadol dies, does he have to pay rent or not? He's coming to a city, the Torah says you have to run to the city and live there until the Kohen Gadol dies, so the question is, you have to pay tax, the rent. So, Rabbi Yehuda, the first opinion says, Milan ha yuschar l'levim. He used to have to pay rent to the people of the Levium. Divide Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir says no. Lahayu ma'alim lam schar. They didn't have to pay rent. So the machlek is Rabbi Yehuda says the Ritzeach had to pay rent, and the Chachamim hold, Rabbi Meir holds you don't have to pay rent. Now the Mishnah continues, and he says v'chezel l'shurada shahayibo. After the guy finishes the time in the Ari Miklat until the Kohen Gadol dies. So now when the Kohen Gadol dies, the Ritzeach is allowed to leave the Ir Miklat. Right? He's not obligated to stay in the Ari Miklat anymore. So the din is, does he go back to his first position or not? In other words, what happens if he was like Rashi says, he was a Rosh Bezdin, he was a rabbi, he was a prominent person, can he go back to his original position now that his term in the Ari Miklat are finished? So, Rav Meir says, Chezel Shrader Shahayiba. Rav Meir holds he can go back to his first position. Even if he was a leader of the Jewish people, and he killed somebody accidentally, and he ran to the city of refuge. Now that the Kohen Gadol died, he's allowed to go back and become the head of the Jewish nation again. Rav Yehuda says, no. Lohaya Chezel Shrader Shahayiba. He did not go back to the original job. Rabbi Yehuda says he can't go back. Because he did such a crime, we don't let him to go back to the original job. Even though it was accidental, he was falling off a ladder and he killed somebody accidentally, the fact that Hashem allowed that this person killed somebody accidentally shows that the person is lacking in greatness, and therefore he has to run to the city of refuge, therefore he needs kapara, and therefore he can't go back to his original job. Yeah, you were in the coffee break. There's a machlekes if you have to pay rent or not. Now the Gemara is going to discuss it. You remember from last time. Last time we learned the Mishnah. But I've learned the Mishnah just for those that weren't here because we have to learn the Gemara now. But there's a big important, before we go to the Gemara, there's an argument if you have to pay rent or not. Rabbi Yehuda says they paid rent. Rabbi Meir says they didn't pay rent. Now the Gemara is going to discuss, when are they arguing? Are they arguing by six cities or by the 42 cities about the rent? And the Gemara says, Amar Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana says, Machleik is the whole argument between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. If you have to pay rent or not, is only by the six Ari Miklat. The Mar Sava, one of them holds, Lochem L'Klita. One holds that there you have to, meaning Rabbi Yehuda holds, it's for you that you're safe, but rent you have to pay. For Marsav and Rabbi Meir holds that lochem lochol tzarcheim, meaning as follows: the pasuk says, "Are miklat tihiyana lochem." They should be cities of refuge for you. So the argument, what does it mean for you? Rabbi Yehuda says, for you, that it protects you from the avenger, but you still have to pay rent. Rabbi Meir says, the Torah says, it's your city, you don't even have to pay rent. Alvo barboy mishtayim ir, but in the far is the other 42 cities that belong to the Levim that were not uniquely designated at Ori Miklot, Devre HaKel, Ma'ilam Lehamschad, everybody says you have to pay rent. Even Rav Meir would say you have to pay rent. In the six cities that the Torah says are yours, so Rav Meir learns, yours means you don't even have to pay rent. But in the other 42 cities that happen to belong to the Levium, but the Torah also says, you know, they protect you from the relative. Yeah, they protect you from the relative, but that doesn't mean they're yours, that you don't have to pay rent. So even Rav Meir would agree you have to pay rent. That's what Rav Kahana says. Amale Rove, so Rove said to Rav Kahana, what are you talking about? Havade lochem lochol tzarcheim mashma. Lochem, everybody says, he says, what do you mean Rav Yehuda says you have to pay rent? Lochem means they're completely yours. So Rove says, how could you even think that Rav Yehuda says you have to pay rent in the six cities? It doesn't mean that. Elam Rove, Rove says, no. Machlaikis, the argument if you have to pay rent or not, is by boy mishtayim in the 42 cities. The mars of it, because Rabbi Yehuda holds you have to pay rent, because it says, valeim titnu, in addition to the six cities, you should give all the cities of the Levium. Meaning, we liken the 42 cities to the six cities, kihanech leklita, just like the cities of refuge protect you. The same thing, these protect you. But that's it. They're not completely like the cities of refuge. Omar Savar, the mayor holds, Valeim Titnu, in addition to the six cities, the Torah says you have another 42 cities. It's exactly like the first six. Just like the first six you don't pay rent, the 42 you don't pay rent. Avo B'sheish, but by the six cities, Divrei HaKol, Lohoyim Ma'ilam L'Yischa, they didn't pay rent. Meaning as follows. It's a very simple piece of Gemara. Rav Kahana says, in the 42 cities, for sure you have to pay rent. In the six cities, Rav Yehuda says you pay rent. Rav Meir says you don't pay rent. Comes along Rav and says, that's absurd. In the six cities, everybody says you don't pay rent. Because the Torah says, the Ari Miklut were given to you. If it's yours, you don't pay rent. You don't pay rent to yourself. So he says, the argument, if you pay rent or not, is only in the 42 cities. And even then, Rav Meir says you don't pay rent. Because Rav Meir likens the 42 cities to the six cities. And if the six cities you don't have to pay rent, the 42 cities, which are exactly like the six cities, Rav Meir says you also don't have to pay rent. The bottom line is that they have to. The city have to provide them with the housing.
The six cities.
The six cities.
You don't pay rent
in
the six cities.
Right. Whoever it is. Right.
And food also?
Not food, just rent. The Torah says you have to, according to the mayor, even in the 42 cities, you're not allowed to take rent.
But the Levium were provided with food, weren't they?
No. I mean, if they got food from Meiser, if they got food from different things, yeah, but otherwise they used to have to buy food.
But what do they do? They work? I
mean, they had side jobs. They can have, basically, they work in the base of Migdash, but they're able to have side jobs. Because they only worked 2 weeks a year plus the Yom, the Chagim. There are 24 shifts of Kohanim and Levium. They were divided by Shmuel HaNavi, right? 24 shifts. Okay? Now, each shift worked a week. Now, if you have 24 shifts, it's times 2 is 48. So there's 52 weeks in a year. But if you take off the Chagim, and basically, it came out that each shift of Kohanim and Levim worked 1 week, one time of the year, and a half a year later, another week, and that was it. And the Chagim, they had to be in the Beis Hamikdash to work.
It's not a lot.
It's not a lot at all. So therefore, they were able to have different things. The only thing the Levim were not allowed to do is they were not allowed to own land. They were not given a Nachla and Eretz Yisrael. So these 42 cities, God gave the Levim as a gift. Not that they owned, bought land, like the land was not divided up for the tribe of Levi. Right? So Hashem said, listen, I'm giving you the land, but, according to that mayor, you have to provide any murderer, accidental murderer, with the rent free.
So a lady can never inherit land. I mean, you can never like
No. You can't inherit land. That's it. It doesn't own land.
Other people know that he's running away and he's seeking refuge in there. Does he bring a court document with him?
No. Why does he? The only time Amish just said that he would have to say that he's a murderer, and it's interesting. The Mishnah says, if they want to give him a prestigious job, then he has to say, by the way, I'm a Ritzayach. Which means, otherwise, he doesn't have to go to the city with a register, like a sex offender. He doesn't have to go register as a murderer offender.
Yeah, but then they wouldn't know if he's an accidental murderer or not. They would
you mean about charging rent? Yeah. So he would come, and they said people would know.
Yeah, but whatever,
no, but he say, what happens if another guy just wants to go to a city of a Levi? For sure he has to pay rent. So he's asking, how do you know that this guy's a murderer or not, that you're going to charge him rent or not? So they know, they find out already. Don't worry, when it comes to saving money, the Jews are going to be very open. Okay, now it says in the Mishnah, Chezel Eshrar Shahoyebo. Rav Meir held in the Mishnah that after the Kohen Gadol dies and the guy goes back, you know, to the city, he's allowed to go to the original job that he had. So the Gemara quotes a Braisa. There's another din similar to this Ritzayach. The din is of an Eved Ivri. An Eved Ivri, if you buy a Jewish slave, the Torah says in Mishpatim, he works 6 years. That's it. He goes out free. What happens if a guy comes along after 6 years and he says, hey, you know, I like this job. It's a pleasure. So you take him to Beis Din, you pierce his ears, the whole thing over there. And then the Torah says he works until Yovel, till the Jubilee year. By the Jubilee year, the Torah says, v'shavel mishpachtei. He goes back to his family. That means even in Eved Ivri, he can only stay max until Yovel. The second Yovel comes, whenever it is. You know, it could be 10 years later, 40 years later, whatever it is, he goes back to his original family. Okay? So now the Gemara quotes a Braisa about Eved Ivri. Tan Rabbanan learned, it says by an Eved Ivri, Vishav al Mishpachta, he returns to his family, Velachuzes Avesav. And he goes back to the holdings of his ancestors, Yoshev he returns to. So it says, what does the Torah say? He goes back to his Mishpacha. He goes back to his family. Which means, l'mishpachta hu shav, he goes back to his family, v'nishav l'machshach zike yaveisav, but he doesn't go back to his position that he had before he was a slave. Because what does the Torah say? The Torah says, you go back to your family. The Torah just doesn't say he goes back. The Torah could have said, after Yovel, the guy goes home. Period. The Torah doesn't say that. The Torah says, you go back to your family. What's the Torah excluding with that? You only go back to your family, but you don't go back to your original job. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's what Rabbi Yehuda holds. So Rabbi Yehuda holds, even an Eved doesn't go back to his original job. After Yovel. Rameir says no. Avu Shav L'mashach Zika Veis. Rameir, the Kanar Mishnah says, he goes back to his original position. Why? Because it says in the Torah, Elachuzas Aveisov, he goes back to the place, possession, holdings of his parents, meaning, Kaveisov, he becomes just like his parents, and therefore he can go back to his original position. So the same machlekes we have by Reitzeach, we have also by Eved Ivri. And then the Braisa says, V'chein begoyla, the same then applies by Golus, that the same argument between Rab Meir and Rab Yehuda, if he goes back to his original position or not, is the same machlekes. So he says why?
6 years and more than that.
So he says why? One second, we have to finish. V'chein begoyla, the same thing applies by Golus, that when it says Yoshuv, when it says he goes back, L'rabbe says it etzeich, to include a murderer. And the Gemara says, what does it mean? V'chein begoyla, what does it mean? So the Gemara says, K'ditanya l'kulunt in a braise, it says, Yoshuv etzeich, al eres al chuzasei, the murderer goes back to the land of his holdings. The eretz achuzasei hushav. He only goes back to the land. But he doesn't go back to what his parents did. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir says, af hushav lemach shechzika aveisav. Just like Eved goes back to his original position, the Retzeach also goes back to his original position. Why? Because Rav Meir says, you learn out Shiva, Shiva Mehasim. Because by Eved it says the word Yoshuv. And by Retzeach it says the word Yoshuv. So we learn that just like by Eved, Yoshuv, Rav Meir says, means he goes back to his original job. So by Retzeach, which also says the same words Yoshuv, he goes back to his original job. So the Braisa is saying that the argument of our Mishnah between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, if you go back to your original position or not, that Rabbi Yehuda says you don't, and Rabbi Meir says you do, the same argument is by Eved. Not only the same argument is by Eved, if anything, we learn out Retzeach from Eved. So the Mishnah basically saying a few arguments. Number one, does he pay rent or not? Does he pay rent or not? Secondly, the argument is, does he go back to the first job or not? And the Gemara's Maskana was like Rava, that the whole argument is only in the 42 cities if you pay rent. In the 6 cities, everybody says you don't pay rent. Whether you go back to your original job, Rav Meir says you do, Rav Meir says you do, Rav Yehuda says you don't. Yes, sir?
What happens to an Eved Ivri if he accidentally kills someone?
He goes to the city of refuge like everybody else. He has to go to the city of refuge, and he has to make up the 6 years later. I'll give you an example. Let's say Eved Ivri works 6 years, right?
Right.
What happens if he works 3 years, and by accident he killed somebody? So he has to run to the city of refuge. After Kohen Gadol dies, he has to make up another 3 years, because he only worked three.
What if he never gets out of there? Does his inheritors have to
pay anything? No. Eved Kanani is not, huh? Yeah.
What is for by Eved Ivri? What does the master have to go out of Galus with him? I mean, to Galus with him.
No, why should the master have to go to Galus? No.
No, it's who would go out to Galus with him?
Goes himself. Yeah. Okay, next paddock. Let me give an introduction to this paddock. The first mission is discussing Avedis that you get Malkus for. Now, there's a number of different types of punishments. There is Malkus for certain Avedis. For instance, you eat Chazir, you get 39 lashes. Okay? Now, how did 39 Malkus work? It wasn't that you just automatically got 39 lashes. Because not all people were able to survive through 39 lashes. So then, if the guy, let's say, was warned, and he ate chazir, and he was warned not to eat chazir, and he was told that if you eat chazir, you're going to get lashes, because you have to tell him the punishment too, and the guy didn't care, and he ate the kazayas of chazir, Bezdin calls in a doctor, they do a medical evaluation, how many malchus the guy could handle. Max is 39. Maximum is 39. Sometimes a doctor could say, listen, this guy is only capable of getting 5. That the din is he only got 5. And not only that, If the doctor said you can get 5, and the Shliach Bezdin by mistake gave him 6, and the guy died, the Shliach Bezdin has to go to the city of refuge for killing somebody accidentally. What happens though, if Bezdin said the guy can handle 15? He can handle 15 lashes. And when you hit him number 13, you know, the doctor says he can handle 15. So Bezdin paskin, you're getting 15 malchus. Then on 13, the guy dies. Everybody's off the hook. Nobody goes to Golus because the Shliach Bezdin didn't go beyond the amount that Bezdin said. Bezdin said, if Bezdin says 5 and he gave him 6 and he died, so then he's punishable because he did something wrong. But if Bezdin says give him 15 and he gave him 13 and the guy died, it's not his fault. So he doesn't have to go to city refuge. So there is a mitzvah slay sasa, like we said, eating chazah and things like that. The punishment is malchus. Okay, basically, for most negative commandments, the punishment is malchus. Then you have avedus that somebody does that's called misa bezdin. Bezdin kills you. For instance, if somebody was warned not to desecrate Shabbos, and the guy desecrated Shabbos, Bezdin kills you. If 2 Edim, 2 witnesses, you were warned, Bezdin kills you. Then there's a concept called Kares. And another one is Misa B'dei Shemayim. Now, to give you an example, Misa B'dei Shemayim is if a non-Kohen eats Truma. If a non-Kohen eats Truma, then God kills you. Not Bezdin, God kills you. Kares is a punishment also when a god kills you. But that's for different aveiros. For instance, if you eat chametz on Pesach, the punishment is kares. If you eat Yom Kippur, the punishment of kares. Certain adulterous relations are kares. Okay? What does it mean? Kares means Bezdin doesn't kill you. God kills you before you're 50 or 60. Kares in Misa B'dei Shemayim, one is 50, one is 60. Which one's which is an argument between Bavli and Yerushalmi. If it's 50 or 60. Okay? Now, the Mishnah is going to say, a person that did an Aveda of Kares got Malchus anyway. Even though the punishment is Kares, Bezdin still gave you Malchus.
So that means he had to be warned. That means he would have to have witnesses warned.
Correct. Okay, meaning, if Bezdin has to kill you, you don't get Malchus, because Bezdin's going to kill you. When Hashem kills you, then Bezdin would give you Malchus. Not death, Malchus. Okay, so now, the Mishnah starts, now we can understand a little bit of the Mishnah. So let's start the Mishnah. And these cases, a lot of the cases that the Mishnah is going to be discussing, are really avedus that you get kares. You get kares for them, but Bezdin gives you malchus anyway. What?
Is Misa B'dei Shemayim also kapara?
Yeah. Kares is kapara, malchus is kapara, all punishments in Torah are kapara. If a guy ate chazer and got malchus, it was his kapara. That's why the Torah says the expression by malchus, v'nikla achicha le'einecha. Once he got hit, he becomes back achicha. He's like back to full-fledged Judaism. Something similar to Judaism. So the Mishnah says, Elein aleikim. These are the prohibitions of Malchus. Now Rashi says right away, these are not the only ones that get Malchus, because a cheshbon is, what did it make a cheshbon? The Rambam has a cheshbon of something like 207. There's 207 avedus you get malchus for. So these are some of them that the Mishnah is talking about. What are they? Abba al-Acheisei, if somebody lived with his sister, or Acheis of his aunt, the sister of his father, or Al-Acheis, Ime, the sister of his mother. In other words, whether it's an aunt as far as the father's sister or the mother's sister. Valaches ishtay, on the sister of his wife. As long as the wife is alive, there's an interesting halach in the Torah. The Torah says, it's in Parshas Achrimes, you're not allowed to marry your wife's sister as long as your wife is alive.
Even if they're divorced.
Even if they're divorced. Which means, I'll give you an example, Rachel and Leah, right? Now, if Yaakov marries Rachel, not Yaakov Avinu, it's a whole different story, why he was allowed to do it. But if Yaakov marries Rachel, he is not allowed to marry Leah as a second wife. Not only can he not marry Leah as a second wife, if he divorces Rachel, he's not allowed to marry Leah. But if Rachel dies, he can marry Leah. And by the way, that used to happen a lot in very, very religious circles in Europe. Somebody was married, you know, people used to die young, whatever. Somebody was married to a woman, and she passed away, and he ended up marrying her sister, which is a halachic 100% kosher. If you divorce her, as long as she's alive, you're not allowed to marry the sister. If you divorce her, and later she dies, then you can marry the sister. But if you marry the sister, when you're not allowed to, the kids are mamzerim.
It doesn't work the other way around, like for brothers, because they have yibum.
But that's only by yibum.
Because like a man.
Well, we're gonna see. Let's see. By the way, the mafashim explained right away. By the way, that even though the Mishnah is talking about the men getting malchus, if a man lives with a sister, they both get malchus. The women also get malchus. Okay. Now, so who is it? So you said your sister, your the sister of your father, the sister of your mother, the sister of your wife, Val Eshes Achiv, and the wife of your brother, meaning your sister-in-law, Val Eshes Achi Aviv, and then the wife of the father's brother. That means not your father's sister, but your father's brother's wife is also part of this prohibition. Val Anid, and a woman who's a Nida before going to the mikveh. All these cases are Chayiv Kares, and therefore they get Malkus. So the first cases up to now are all cases of Kares, that you get Malkus. Then it says, Amon al Kohen Gadol, what happens if a widow marries a Kohen Gadol? Now that is only a negative commandment. There's no capital punishment. A Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry a divorcee, because no Kohen could. A Kohen Gadol cannot marry a widow either, that a Kohen, regular Kohen could. A regular Kohen can marry a widow. He cannot marry a divorced woman. Kohen Gadol cannot even marry an Almona. But if he does, it's only a lav, it's not Kodesh. But because he actively transgressed a negative commandment, he's going to get whipped. But it's interesting, and there's a big difference, not that it's related to our Mishnah so much, it's an interesting point. When it's an aveda of capital punishment in these marriage things, if it's an aveda of capital punishment, the woman, the kedushin is completely invalid. I'll give you an example. If a man has a single sister, an unmarried sister, he comes over to his sister, in front of two witnesses, gives her a ring, and says that to her sister, and she accepts the ring in front of the two witnesses, it's completely worthless. She is not a married woman at all. It's worthless. Okay? She doesn't need a get from her brother. She does nothing. Okay? If you come over to your wife's sister, during your lifetime. I mean, during her lifetime. Obviously, your life. You come over to your wife's sister during her lifetime. And you give her a ring. And you say, worthless. There's no kedushin at all. Yes, you're right. Right, you're right. Because everybody knows that there's no kedushin, so he's giving it to her as a gift. You're right. Now, when it's only a negative commandment, You're not allowed to do it, but the Kedushin is valid. First, I'll give you an example. The Mishnah is going to explain now. If a Kohen is not allowed to marry a divorcee, right? A Kohen cannot marry a Grusha. But if a Kohen comes over to a Grusha and gives her a ring in front of two witnesses, she becomes a married woman. The Kohen must give her a get for her to remarry anybody else. Because it's not capital punishment sin, it's only a negative commandment. And if it's only a negative commandment, the halacha is not like Rabbi Kiva, and the halacha is like the Chachamim, that hold is completely invalid. Unless, if it's a lav, then the Kedushin is valid. So if a Kohen Gadol comes over to a widow, who he's not allowed to marry, and he gives her a ring, the Kedushin is valid. That means that lady needs a get. Can the Kohen Gadol live with her? No, he's obligated to divorce her. But she needs a get for her to be able to go on with life. A Kohen with the regular woman. Because it's only a lav. So the first categories of the Mishnah were saying, those Avedis which are Kodis, you still get Malkus. Now the Mishnah is saying, cases that are only a lav, and you also get Malkus. What are they? Almana l'Kohen Gadol, and Almana to a Kohen Gadol. Grusha v'chalutza l'Kohen Hedyot, a woman who's divorced, or a chalutza. Chalutza is the case when there's supposed to be yibum, and you don't do yibum, you know, you take off the shoe and spit and the whole thing. So a chalutza can also not marry a Kohen. Even though technically she's a widow, but the fact that she had chalitza does not allow her to marry a Kohen. Or mamzer is for Nesina l'Yisrael, a mamzer, or Nesina. Nesina was from the nation of Givanim that tricked Yeshua to accept them as converts, and Yeshua accepted them as converts, but later the Chacham said you're not allowed to marry them. So if a Yisrael comes over to a mamzeres, who a Jew cannot marry a mamzeres, but it's only a negative commandment, so he gets whipped. Mamzer is a Nesin Yisrael, or Bat Yisrael, who gets married to a Nesin or a Mamzer, she gets Malkus. Almano Grusha, then the Mishnah says another interesting din. What happens if a Kohen Gadol marries a woman who's a widow and a divorcee? That means this woman was divorced from one guy and widowed from another guy. Now, Cain cannot marry either one. So then the din is, Chayavan Allah Mishum Shnei Shemis. He gets whipped twice. Not two times, 2 times 39.
Same day?
Well, it depends how much he can handle. But he gets double punishment. But Grusha V'Chalutza Eina Chayavan Allah Mishum Achas Bovad. Interesting halacha. What a Kohen cannot marry a divorcee, yeah? What happens if the woman was divorced twice and marries a Kohen? He only gets whipped once. Because the Torah says you can't marry a Gerusha. This woman is a Gerusha. Period. Even though she was divorced 5 times, she's one Gerusha. So if a Kohen marries a Gerusha, he gets 1 time 39. But the Torah says, if a woman who's an almana and a grusha is two different names, two different sins, and the Torah says a Kohen Gadol cannot marry an almana or a grusha, so even though it's the same lady, but the same lady has two statuses of an almana and a grusha, so then the Kohen Gadol will get whipped twice.
Is chalitza like
grusha? Chalitza is a din like gerushin, yeah. Well, that, no, even the Chacham over there could hold like over here. Edom Zeman is different. Edom Zeman is different. But this is according to all opinions. I'll give you an example. If somebody eats, Chametz on Pesach, that's meat and milk together. Yeah? And basically eat something of chametz, which is meat and milk together. You get double malchus. Because chametz is one sin, meat and milk is another sin. Yeah? Well, no, give me a second. What happens if a kohen, not a kohen, if a Jew on Pesach eats treifa bread? Mamash treifa bread. So he ate chametz, plus he ate treif. So even though it's the same bread, right, the same bread, but it's two different categories of sin, so you would get double malchus.
So it's still the chorus still stands.
Yeah, chorus still stands, but the leper, we're talking about from the mouth, you can't get killed twice.
Can chorus go away?
We'll see later in the Gemara.
This is talking about, so it says Almana Grusha, it's talking about a woman who's an Almana Grusha.
One woman who's both.
Who's both? What if it's two different women?
And he marries both?
Both of them.
So for sure. Here the Mishnah is saying even if it's the same woman you get two sins. You don't get killed twice.
Even though they don't kill him.
Who?
If he gets Hashem.
Then you get Malchus.
Just,
right.
We learn somewhere else that they don't get death penalty.
Right. If there's death penalty, let's say a guy committed a crime. Let's say a guy committed a crime that would demand capital punishment of Bezdin. Plus lashes at the same time. So then the din is when you get two punishments, you get the worst of the punishments. You don't get both. You get kimle b'drabimine, means you get the worst of the punishments. Therefore, if I, let's say, in a technical way, I mean, the Gemara tries to figure out how it works. If I burn your clothing on Shabbos, I burn down your house on Shabbos, right? So I made a fire, which is skila, plus it damaged your property, the Torah says, I only have to get killed, I don't pay for the damages. Because when you have two punishments, you get the worser of the two.
Making a fire
is
skila?
On Shabbos?
Oh.
Shabbos, not making it. If a kid make fires, they get stoned by the parents. We're talking about Shabbos with best. Okay, then it says, other cases. Hatameh shachal asakedish, a person who was tameh, that ate hegdish, which again the punishment is misa b'dei shemayim, or haboel amigdish tameh, if somebody came to the base of migdish when he was tameh, or eichel chelev dam neiser upigul, if somebody ate chelev, which are trefa fats that you're not allowed to eat, dam, if you ate blood, that the Torah forbids to eat. Naisar is a carbon which was left over after the allotted time that the Torah gives you to eat it. Like some carbonis you're allowed to eat a day and a night. Certain carbonis you can eat 2 days and a night. But if you leave it over to the third day, that meat is called naisar and you're not allowed to eat it. Or pigul. Pigul is an interesting din. Pigul means if somebody... What are you doing? Pigul is if somebody, when they shecht the carbon, has in mind that they're going to eat it in the wrong time. So just thinking that they're going to eat the carbon in the wrong time disqualifies the carbon, and you're not allowed to eat it. Or v'tamei, if somebody was tamei v'ashechet and he shechted the carbon, ma'ila b'chutz. Or brought it outside the base of Migdosh, or ha'eichel chametz bePesach. If somebody is chametz on Pesach, va'eichel va'isem alach b'yom Kippurim, or if you eat or do work on Yom Kippur, va'mefatim es hashemen. If you make a replica of the oil which was in the base of Migdosh, the anointing oil in the base of Migdosh, the Torah says you're not allowed to make any replicas of it, and if you did, you get killed. Okay, so again, if you do that, you get Malchus. V'amefatim as Ketores, if somebody makes a replica of the incense of the Beis HaMikdash, the Ketores, or Hasach b'shemen HaMishcha, If somebody takes oil of the Beis HaMikdash and anointed themselves with it when you're not allowed to. If he eat a nevela. By the way, it's interesting. People always use the word treif. There's a difference between nevela and treifa. Nevela means the dead carcass of an animal that wasn't shechted. I mean, if an animal just died, okay, or somebody shot the animal, not shechted it, that is called a nevela. Treifa is you shechted the animal, but the animal has a blemish that you can't, that the animal is not able to live for a year, and it's still forbidden. That's why, you know, they have to check the inside of the animal to make sure there's no blemishes and no cuts and nails and holes and all that. Huh? A bad shechting is nevela. Treifa is when it's a good shechita, but you can't eat the animal because it's like ripped apart, it's going to die in a year.
So when let's say there's like a hole in the lungs or something like that, or
it's called treifa, not nevela. Nevela is either you messed up the shechita, or there was no shechita.
So that's what it is.
No. No. The difference between kosher and glatt kosher, to the major misconception of American Jewry, like this is glatt kosher milk, you know what I mean? It became an expression. Glatt is a Yiddish word which means smooth. That's the definition of glatt. Huh? Now, glatt means certain times the lungs of an animal has certain growths on it. Now, technically, the true definition of glatt is that the lung is completely smooth. There are no growths at all. It's called a sircha. There's no growths at all on the lung. Certain growths on the lung make the animal treif. Certain growths on the lung does not render a treif, it's kosher, but it's not muhudar, it's not proper. It's not glatt because it's not smooth.
Yeah.
Glatt kosher means, glatt means the animal is glatt, and glatt really, the word glatt is only on animals, because glatt means it's smooth.
Which is muhudar.
Muhudar, so therefore people use the expression, it's glatt kosher, meaning it's super kosher. But the word glatt actually means smooth.
If you cut off these things.
Sometimes it's kosher, sometimes it's not kosher. Depends. Okay, let's just finish this up. Bugs, or if you ate tevel and meiser, that you didn't separate meiser from the meiser for the kayanim, or meiser sheni vehegdish shle nivdu, or if you ate meiser sheni outside of Yerushalayim, or hegdish that wasn't redeemed, all these times you get Malkus. Then it says, Kama yechol min ha-tevel v'yechayiv, how much do you have to eat from tevel? Tevel is something you didn't separate truma or mice or anything from. So normally, eating in Torah is a kezayis. But by tevel, how much do you have to eat to be chayiv? Rab Shimon Eimer, Rab Shimon says, kol shu, any amount of tevel, you get Malkus. Chachamim Eimerim, kezayis. Kezayis. So Amalam Rab Shimon said to the Chachamim, Iata maidenly, don't you agree to me? Be'echon the Mala kosher that if you eat a whole bug, that you're chayiv, even if it's less than a kazayas. So why is Tevel different? Amalay said, he said, Mneshi kibriyasi, because it's a whole thing. So he answered back, Chita achas kibriyasi, a chita is also a whole thing. We have to continue later, next time in the Gemara, about the chita stuff. But that's basically it.